accepted, Jesus said, follow me.
Well, he did. He did. Yeah, but that wasn't the... I mean, that's what he said. If you want the reward, sell everything you have and give it to the poor and then come follow me. Okay, Revelation 22. Here's the second coming in verse 12. He says, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done. Now, why is this a big deal? Because that's a difficult passage. Shouldn't it say to render to every man according to what he has believed? Okay, so last week we were talking about faith, belief, being, you know, wrapped up with obedience. But I want to push that a little further, because Asher Norman is pushing us a little further on it. What about Revelation 20, verse 12, the great judgment? And now take note, as we read this passage, this is after the Messianic kingdom and after the resurrection of the righteous, those who are in the kingdom of heaven. Okay, this is after all that and after the 1,000 years. This is at the very end of this present world and the beginning of world to come. It says in Revelation 20:12, and I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. Books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. Okay, so another problematic passage. And there's more than this. These are just some of my faves. Some of my favorite problematic passages. Where we see judgment and reward in the world to come being meted out according to their deeds. So, again... some troubling stuff for a traditional grace-based, faith-based, grace-based perspective. But I want to suggest to you a problem with Asher Norman's thinking here. And that is this idea that salvation is actually merited according to keeping the commandments. Just logically, there's some questions that would make you insecure on this premise. And so I'll give you, like, the question you might ask is, well, how well do I have to keep these commandments? To what extent are we talking about here? And it's pretty critical that I know. this would be pretty critical information, right? So, are you familiar with, or maybe you've heard the name E.P. Sanders? Okay, E.P. Sanders wrote a lot about first century Judaism. He wrote a book on Paul, where he challenged this conventional view that Judaism is a works-based religion. Okay, where by works-based religion, I mean a religion that teaches you have to work your way to salvation. E.P. Sanders pointed out that this is actually not what was being taught, nor is it what Paul was fighting against, was the idea that you needed to work your way into heaven. Or as Asher Norman would say, love God, fear God, and keep His commandments in order to merit salvation. So, he points us instead to a critical text at the very beginning of Pirkei Avot. And it is, it's the introduction to Pirkei Avot. Pirkei Avot is a tractate from the Mishnah. The Mishnah is a body of law that was compiled shortly after the time of the Apostles. Well, not that shortly, like a century after the time of the Apostles. But here's the passage. It's the very beginning. And it gets repeated throughout the collection. All Israel have a share, have a portion in the world to come. As it is said in Isaiah 60, verse 21, and your people are all righteous, they shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands wherein I glory. Okay, so here's the proof text. All your people are righteous, they shall inherit the land forever. So, inherit the land forever, forever is a long time. This world doesn't last forever, that must refer to the world to come. We've already determined from the Torah that the righteous are the ones who merit the world to come. Because we saw those passages, life, death, I put life before you, you know. So, the next part of this is, the prophet says, all your people are righteous. So all of Israel is righteous and will inherit the land forever. Therefore, all Israel have a portion in the world to come. If you're in the family of Israel and in the covenant relationship of Israel, you already have a portion in the world to come. That is the theology of the Pharisaic theology of the first century. So it's not a question of how do I get saved, because as a Jew, you're already in. You already have this covenant status, right? And so then this explains what we're studying in Galatians. This explains why it became such a critical question of how do Gentiles get saved. And the answer was, well, obviously they become Jewish, because once you're Jewish, you're saved. All right? And so, however, apostolic teaching counters this. Apostolic teaching, the master, for example, in his conversation with Nicodemus says, you must be born again. It's not enough to be born halakhically Jewish, you need to be born spiritually. And Paul says in Romans, he says, it's possible to be an Israelite, you know, just in the flesh and not spiritually to have this inheritance. And so we see this emphasis throughout the apostolic writings on repentance and faith. Repentance and faith as being the ticket to the world to come. So this is not... I have another passage. I'll show you another passage. What was that? Pirkei Avot. Isaiah. I'm sorry. Isaiah 60, verse 21. Okay, so this is from the Talmud, Tractate Brachot. It was taught in a teaching, a tradition, an oral tradition. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai said, the Holy One, blessed is He, gave three good gifts to Israel, and He gave all of them only through suffering. They are Torah, the land of Israel, and the world to come. All right, so these are gifts. These are gifts given to Israel in this passage, which sounds like grace, but it comes through suffering.
What's the Brachot reference?
5a.
5a?
Yes, Brachot 5a.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Right. So let's look at some apostolic counters on this. I'm going to throw you three passages that are all thematically related. Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10:38. So we'll start with the Romans passage. All right, I'll start in verse 16 of Romans 1. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So this is Paul countering that theology we're talking about, of where all Israel has a share in the world to come, and if a Gentile wants a part of it, he needs to become Jewish. He needs to become Israel. So Paul says, look, The gospel, when he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, he's not like, you know, I remember as a teenager thinking like this passage was like, you know, like, well, then, you know, you've got to witness and not be embarrassed that you're a Christian. Paul's not embarrassed. You know, he's not like sheepish, like, oh, gee, yeah, okay. Go to church. When he says, I'm not ashamed, we should understand, the gospel does not disappoint me. It doesn't disappoint me. That's how I would understand it. But maybe that helps. I'm not disappointed by the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, or to the Jew obviously, and also to the Gentile. For it is in the righteousness of God. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed. All right, righteousness of God is revealed. That's what we're talking about. Righteousness. All your people are righteous. So how does that happen if they're not? In it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous man, or the righteous, shall live by faith. Okay, that's one. Now we're going to go pick it up again in Galatians 3. Same thoughts. Okay, and I'll start in verse 10 this time. It says, "For as many as are of the works of the law, the Torah, are under a curse." What does it mean, "are of the works of the law"? As many are of the works of the law. Interesting point of information here. Works of the law in the Dead Sea Scrolls is a term that refers to conversion to Judaism. So anyway, we'll cover that when we learn Galatians more. But for as many as the works of the law are under a curse, as is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now, that no one is justified by the Torah before God is evident, for it's written, the righteous man shall live by faith. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices the commandments shall live by them. So this is an example of Paul using the same kind of language, where he's taking live to mean not just live in this world, but live in the world to come. Lathan, I've got the override on the thermostat. Can you shut off the override? Thanks. All right. One more, and then I'm going to show you a Jewish passage from the Talmud that relates to all of these. So this one is from Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 38, where it says, "My righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but those who have faith to the preserving of the soul." So, what you've seen, what I've shown you, is three apostolic citations of the same scripture. When that happens, and it happens a lot, that you'll see that the apostles just keep using the same proof text over and over in different contexts. When that happens, it means it's an oral teaching in the apostolic community, that it's one of their midrashim that's being passed around, probably originated with the master or with Peter, someone high up, and it's just been it's gone into currency and is being taught to the community. Okay, so it seems like we have a contradiction, right? On the one hand, how do you merit the world to come? Through your deeds. On the other hand, through faith. Last week we talked about how deeds and faith are related, they're connected. So that's one way to reconcile this seeming contradiction. But I want to work through this passage from the Talmud in Makot 23 with you. That asks the same question. Rabbi Simlai expounded, 613 commandments were related to Moses. 365 negative commandments, which correspond to the days of the solar year, and 248 positive commandments, which correspond to the 248 parts of the human body. Rav Hamuna said, where do we learn this? What verse? And the answer is, Moses commanded us the Torah as a heritage. And the numerical value of the word Torah is 611. So there you go. All right. To this, you have to add the first two of the Ten Commandments. I am the Lord your God, and you shall have no other gods, which were heard directly from the mouth of the Almighty. So you add those two commandments, and you have 613. All right, that's the idea. Okay. Now, this is just introduction to give you the idea. There's 613 commandments, and you should say, wow, that's a lot. Okay, that's too many. King David came and established 11 as the basis for the fulfillment of all 613, as it is written. A Psalm of David. Lord, who may sojourn in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy mountain? One who walks in perfect innocence and works righteously, and speaks the truth from his heart, who has no slander on his tongue, who has done his fellow no evil, nor cast disgrace upon his neighbor, his close one, in whose eyes a contemptible person is repulsive, but who honors those who fear the Lord. Who can swear to his detriment without retracting, and who lends not his money on interest, and takes not a bribe against the innocent? The doer of these shall never fall. And so never fall means life, world to come. Okay. All right. So now we're going to review. What psalm is that? It's 115, I believe, or Psalm 15, I think. So now we get a long description of what each of these things means. And then it goes on. So it is written in the final verse, the doer of these shall never fall. Whenever Rabban Gamliel reached this verse, though, he would weep. He said, Scripture implies that it is only one who practices all 11 of these who shall not falter. But if he practices one of them, fails to practice one of them, he will falter then. Ah. So it's too many. The Gemara responds. It says, they get into a discussion about this, about the doer of all these things. And then it goes on. Isaiah came, and he felt like that's too many. So he established the basis for the fulfillment of all 613 commandments upon 6 commandments, as is written. One who walks with righteousness and speaks with fairness, who spurns extortion, profit from extortion, shakes his hands from holding a bribe, and who seals his ears from hearing of bloodshed, and shuts his eyes from seeing evil. Okay, so this is a passage from Isaiah. It's Isaiah 33:15. 6 principles. Okay, so now we get a couple pages here of explanations of each of these 6. Right. So, regarding this person, it says in Isaiah, he shall dwell in the heights. Eh? Yeah, okay. He shall dwell in the heights. But this is still, you know, pretty, that's quite a bit. That's a lot of work. What if you failed on one of those points? So, it says the prophet Micah came and established the basis for the fulfillment of the whole 613 commandments on 3. Yeah. All right. So here's what Micah said. He said, it is written, and this is in Micah 6:8. He has told you, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? All right. Okay, to do justice. This refers to the body of law governing human decency. To love kindness, this refers to the performance of good deeds, and to go discreetly, to walk humbly with your God, this refers to things like caring for the dead, escorting the dead, and providing for a bride.